2004 and also Senate Bill 258. And the order we will move in is Senate House Bill 2004. Representative Patridge, however, is not present, who is to read this. So perhaps I can read it, and he can come and fill in a lot of blanks. I'll open the public hearing, or the work session, excuse me, on House Bill 2004. House Bill 2004 is one of the PERS bills that is anticipated in the co-chair's budget. It requires the PERS board to implement new mortality tables July 1, 2003. Now I'll turn it over to Representative Patridge to read the rest of the presentation.
The amendment also provides the petition of the Supreme Court as exclusive remedy for challenges to the constitutionality of any provision of the bill.
I was just on the. You might start right about
here.
Yeah.
The new mortality tables will reduce employer contribution rates by 2 percentage points. The dash B28 amendments has been approved by Representatives Knope and McPherson from the House PERS Committee and Senator Corcoran from the Senate General Government Committee. The amendment provides $5.1 million of limitation and 41 limited duration positions to implement the bill. It ensures savings to employers. It requires the PERS board to recalculate employer contribution rates after close of session to reflect the impact of bills such as this one.
Thank you, Representative Patrick. Their discussion. We have before us a letter that was addressed to Tricia Smith from a Thomas K. Doyle of the law firm Bennett Hartman Morrison Kaplan. And as I understand it, they are a bit concerned, Representative Patrick, over the B-27 amendments, which dealt with the expedited review by the Oregon Supreme Court. And I've just been given this letter this morning. Apparently, there's some concern over whether or not there'd be an opportunity to continue to have appeals at the federal level. So, I don't know if you have a reaction.
Well, I think
to that
the legislature oftentimes permits the Supreme Court to have the exclusive jurisdiction and remedy to hear these cases. In regard to is my understanding in putting together the issues that would come before the Supreme Court and then having an investigatory measure, usually the Supreme Court will appoint a special master in order to receive the record before the court should there be other issues. So I don't particularly, in just my brief reading of this while I've been here, I think that there are sufficient remedies that are available. From the court testified against giving the court exclusive remedy or problems that would cause with the judicial system. And I think in talking to at least Chairman Knope, that I think part of the reason that they were doing this is so that the issue is resolved for the state of Oregon in a much more efficient manner and in a much more timely manner rather than going through the normal appeals process. I believe that we owe a duty to cities, counties, and ourselves as the state to resolve this issue as timely a manner as possible, and I believe that that's the thrust of these amendments.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Hansen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think all of us want these issues to be resolved as quickly as possible. The question, though, is if the language is not precise enough and hasn't been to expedite that, then have we really gained the time savings that we want? And if, as I understand, there was agreed upon language between a lot of the parties that were involved in this, and that language has changed, I think it'd be appropriate if we either checked with legislative counsel or took a deep breath and put this over to a later time so we can clarify this, because a day or two at this point could certainly save us a lot more time if the language isn't exactly what we need to expedite the process.
Thank you. Senator Gordley?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen has expressed my thoughts. In addition, I would just ask that, for the record, we hear some more detail about the provisions in the B-27, Dash 27 amendments. What do they provide?
Representative Patrick?
I was trying to read and listen and do things, Mr. Chair. I think the B-27 amendments were agreed to by the members of the committee, and basically, basically, it provides their that the contract rights provisions will be that will be done under this section. So let me go back to this.
Maybe staff can help.
Mr. Chair.
Maybe staff can help us a little bit.
Yes, Dallas.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the dash B-27 is the first part of what's now B-28. That added a section to Section 5, I believe, of the bill for the remedy to the Supreme Court or petition to the Supreme Court. So it's the first part of what's in the B-28. That is what's referred to as the dash B-27.
Senator Carter.
Mr. Chairman, I am somewhat befuddled today by this bill, and my ignorance is much too high for me to be a positive vote on this bill today.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Co-Chair Miller. This letter presents what I think are very reasonable questions that need to be addressed. And I think if there is ever a time to exercise caution or prudence before we pass this out, and I guess I would compliment the words that have already been said. It's better to be a penny wise rather than a pound foolish. If we don't address this issue now, we're going to spend a tremendous amount of time in the future trying to address this issue.
Well, what I might suggest is that we suspend this work session temporarily until Council Chamoff can be located and come in and talk to us about this.
Mr. Chair, just
Representative Patridge,
just for clarification purposes, I think the exclusive remedy issue is just a policy choice that we have to make as a legislature, whether we want the exclusive remedy to rest with the Supreme Court or not, and whether that makes sense or not. Is the primary issue members have concern about is in item number 8, so we can have Greg address that? I just don't. Or we just bring Greg down and let people ask questions?
I don't know.
Representative Butler?
Mr. Chair, if I may, I think that Dallas has indicated that 27 is incorporated and becomes part of 28. As I read the letter from the law firm that Mr. Doyle is representing, having sat in on the PERS committee, I want to tell you that this is part of the dueling lawyers program. Virtually everything that's on the table that has any possibility for contest is in fact contested, and my concern is that the letter tries to scope in on B-27 and B-27 only when it really needs to be taken in conjunction with B-28 and the policy choice. It's my understanding that other of the PERS bills coming out of that House committee are going to be having with it the language that incorporates the contests to the Oregon State Supreme Court as opposed to allowing these to get wadded up into the a series of lawsuits in the lower courts and basically thwarting the intention of the legislation. So that's what I fear that this is about, and I know that there's continual dueling between the two law firms, and I would appreciate some advice from counsel, but I feel more inclined to just go ahead and support counsel with regard to the fact that most all of these will be taken directly to the Supreme Court, and all challenges need to vest there as opposed to allowing them to work their way through and basically enjoin the state from making any meaningful change.
Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can only speak for myself here, but I have not been lobbied on this bill, and clearly there are members who are much further up to speed than I am. I don't know what the B-27s do or the B-28s. I don't have any amendments in my bill file. I have a final bill, and I was looking at Section 5, but as one of those folks who took that funny little oath of office that said I would uphold the Constitution, I have nothing to balance this letter against, and I would like something to balance this letter against. So it would be helpful to me if we could just hold this thing over till tomorrow, and I could have a clue. I mean, this is... I'd be happy to trust my colleagues to a good extent, but this is obviously pretty serious. It's on its going to its last chamber. It's not going to its first chamber. It doesn't go through another committee. It doesn't... All of the checks and balances that we have are not ahead of us. They're behind us. Mm-hmm. So I just like a little time.
Okay, let me interject. The House is now under a call, so we have an opportunity here to think about this for 10 or 15 minutes until counsel can maybe join us. I don't know if that's going to be possible, but my guess is he can lead us through this letter and probably concur with what Representative Butler suggested, that this is an argument among lawyers and we'll have a forum in some court somewhere. It's probably more appropriate there than here. But anyway, we will be in recess until 12:05. Well, hopefully I can mess up your noon hour plan, but we will be in recess.
Once again,
being the full Ways and Means Committee, when we left off, we were in a discussion of House Bill 2004, and we were seeking legislative counsel, and he's heard our call. Officer Kamoff, welcome. Please help us through the dash 27s and 28s and the appeal.
Mr. Chair, members, how can I be of assistance?
Have you seen the letter that we all received this morning from Mr. Doyle of the firm of Bennett, Hartman, Morris, and Kaplan?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have.
And do you think the concerns expressed by Mr. Doyle are well-founded?
Mr. Chair, no. The amendments don't purport to, nor could they, affect a federal court's jurisdiction. The amendments describe or prescribe the remedy that a person may pursue within the state system, but the state doesn't have the authority to tell the federal courts what cases they will and will not hear. As to the concern about the lack of a jury trial, if the issue is the validity of the legislation that this body is passing, then that's a matter that can proceed directly to the Supreme Court. There isn't a factual issue for a jury to decide. If, in fact, there were a case in which an individual member's situation involved some sort of a factual dispute, the length of employment, the terms of employment, that sort of thing, then the member would be entitled to a trial by jury, but my understanding is that the amendments that are before the body are intended to address the, I would call the systemic challenge, the challenge to the measure or the policy decision underlying them as a whole.
Thank you. Are there questions? All right. We appreciate your coming here and straightening this out. I'm also of the impression that, at least on the House side, Representatives McPherson, who is here, and
McPherson is here.
Would you care to comment on what our counsel just informed us?
Just very briefly, Mr. Chair.
co-chairs and members of the committee. I'm Greg McPherson, for the record, representative from House District 38, and worked on the formulation of House Bill 2004 over on the House side. I would say my background is as a pension lawyer, not on the procedural intricacies of Oregon litigation, but my views at this point are consistent with what you just heard from legislative counsel, that there are not substantial issues of fact raised by whether the validity of this bill, and so that expedited review by the Supreme Court would be an appropriate remedy, and that it is certainly in the public's interest that these issues be resolved promptly, and that I can't see issues that would be developed in jury trial, for example, that would be a useful development of these issues. So I would support the bill in the form that you're looking at it with the amendments before you.
Thank you, Representative. Are there questions? Senator Gordley?
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Representative. Understanding that you were deeply involved in processing this legislation on the House side, and given that this is a bringing forth a change in the actuarial tables, can you tell us what discussion took place in the committee that focused on difference in mortality rates by gender, for example, difference in mortality rates by race, ethnicity? Did that rise to the subject of discussion?
Co-chair Senator Gordley, we heard no evidence about differences in mortality rates by ethnicity. We did have some limited information about difference in mortality by gender and by area of responsibility. Particularly, it was indicated to us that public safety officers have different mortality from the general population, that is, that they tend to die earlier. It's well understood that, in fact, males tend to have a shorter life expectancy than females, and yet we are required by federal law to not recognize that difference in the calculation of benefits. So we're required to have gender-neutral mortality tables. And one of the issues about whether there should be a different mortality table for public safety officers is whether there's any difference between those public employees and the general population of public employees. It is not itself just a reflection of the gender difference.
And just to follow up briefly, I understand you to say that you did not hear testimony with regard to differences around race and ethnicity. Did you seek testimony or seek an understanding of the possible impact on the tables?
Co-chair Senator Gordley, we did not seek any information with that respect to that issue. And in fact, our focus was on whether the tables that were in use by the PERS system today are consistent with the general population's longevity expectations, and the fact that, in fact, we received significant evidence that the tables that are being used for current retirees are about 20 years out of date and show a life expectancy that is about 4 years shorter than, in fact, the general population. But we did not pursue information about how one might break out the population as between different groups based on ethnicity, career track, gender, any of that information.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, Representative. Appreciate you being
Thank
here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Patridge.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the -B28 amendments to House Bill 2004, which is what I think we have to do.
Representative Patridge moves the -B28 amendments to House Bill 2004. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the amendments. Senator Gordley is noted as objecting, as is Senator Carter. Is there further objections? Representative Hansen. If there are no further objections, the amendments are agreed to. Representative Patridge moves.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 2004 B engrossed version as amended to the floor. I'm not sure which floor we're going to this time. Senate floor with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Patridge moves House Bill 2004 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? If not, the clerk would please call the roll on House Bill 2004.
Representative Butler.
Aye.
Representative Patridge.
Aye.
Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Lawrence.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Bates.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Tootie Smith.
Aye.
Representative Gregson.
Aye.
Co-Chair Miller.
Aye.
Senator Duke.
Aye.
Senator Carter.
No.
Senator Winter.
Aye.
Senator Gordley.
No.
Senator Messerly.
Aye.
Senator George.
Aye.
Senator Morse.
Aye.
Vice Chair Harper.
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader.
Aye.
Motion carries.
House Bill 2004 is sent to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2004. We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 258. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 258 is another PRS bill anticipating the co-chair's and the co-chair's budget. It allows a member in the PRS who is vested but inactive to receive 150% of a member's account balance if it withdraws the account on or after July 1st, 2004, but before June 30th, 2006. Your General Government Subcommittee made no provision for funding to implement this measure. It felt that because the July 1st, 2004 implementation date, any needed limitation could be provided by the Emergency Board when the PERS gets a better handle on the system changes needed after evaluating the impact of this and other legislation passed. Therefore, your General Government Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 258.
Is there a discussion of Senate Bill 258?
Question.
Question, Representative T. Smith.
On the financial analysis paper, clear at the bottom of the comments, and it says the PERS board would need an additional $351,600 to upgrade their systems in order to do this. I kind of don't understand why that's necessary.
Mr. Chair.
Dallas.
Mr. Chair and Dallas will reiterate, but the General Government Subcommittee, we did not make any provision for funding because we felt that that any needed limitation could be provided at a later time. We are going to consider other needs as the, all of the PERS bills continue to wind their way through, so we will be addressing some of those issues as we go along.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, virtually every PERS bill has a fiscal impact developed by PERS staff. In the past, we have recommended deferring action on certain of those bills pending end of session, seeing how they may interact, and then if they can approach systems development in a more cohesive fashion rather than piecemeal by these different pieces of legislation. The existing information system that the PERS system has is antiquated. It will need changes, and just about every change in a benefit calculation or payment of a benefit seems to drive needed changes to their system. We did not do an in-depth review of that cost estimate. We tend to, since we didn't make a recommendation on it or recommended it be deferred, we would tend to do that later if they come forward with additional requests to the e-board, or we could even do it during the Ways and Means process. We can do a work session on the bill next week.
Just a follow-up. I support this bill completely. I'm just a little concerned that the PERS board has come back with this fiscal. These are accounts that are currently inactive, and I would imagine that they are being managed somehow currently, and then add an additional fiscal to this statement to cut a check. I kind of see that's a bit overblown. I don't support that additional fiscal, but I will support the bill.
Further discussion? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I could support this. I think there's certainly significant merit. I will be voting against it now just from the standpoint that I'd rather be voting for this and understanding it within the context of the other PERS changes that are going to be made. And I think that it's more of a question of timing. After we make the other changes, I think it'd be easier to reflect upon the merits of this bill. So at this point, I'm a no.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Senator Gordley.
Mr. Chair, I share the same concern.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Thank you. I just would say that this is totally separate. The funding issue could certainly be considered at this time, but it's felt that we haven't even worked the PERS budget, so the funding issue is not something that we want to get into. But this is a separate bill from the balance of the PERS bills, and it is it does provide for some folks to go ahead and start to opt out. So I think it needs to be considered totally separately from the rest of them, and it should stand alone on its own merits, and it is a good bill.
And having said that, did you want to move it to the Senate?
Move it with a due pass recommendation to the full Senate floor.
Thank you. Senator, Representative Butler has moved Senate Bill 258 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, the clerk would please call the roll. Did you want to? No, you're just looking.
Just sitting there.
Okay.
Representative Butler.
Aye.
Representative Patrick.
Aye.
Representative Hanson.
No.
Representative Morgan.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Bates?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Tudingston?
Aye.
Representative Greg Smith?
Aye.
Co-Chair Miller?
Aye.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Winter?
Aye.
Senator Gordley?
No.
Senator Messerly?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Morse?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harper?
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Senate Bill 258 is passed to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 258. Anything further to come before the committee? If not, thank you for your attendance. We are adjourned.